Chapter 51. Come, what was your motive? Apostrophe, apostrophe, your wit. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, no, not my wit. Wit would have made a wife of me by this time instead of what I am. Apostrophe, apostrophe, your virtue. Apostrophe, apostrophe, her virtue either. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I tell you it was your beauty really. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but I cannot help seeing and hearing, and if what people say is true, I am not nearly so good-looking as Cytherea, and several years older. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the aspect of Manston's face at these words from her was so confirmatory of her hint, that his forced reply of oh no, apostrophe tended to develop her chagrin. Mere liking her love for me, apostrophe she resumed, would not have sprung up all of a sudden, as your pretended passion did. You had been to London several times between the time of the fire, and your marriage with Cytherea. You had never visited me, or thought of my existence or cared that I was out of a situation and poor. But the week after you married her, and were separated from her, off you rushed to make love to me, not first to me either, for you went to several places, apostrophe, no, not several places. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, you told me, so yourself, that you went first to the only lodging in which your wife had been known as Mrs. Manston, and when you found that the lodging housekeeper had gone away and died, and that nobody else in the street had any definite ideas as to your wife's personal appearance, and came and proposed the arrangement we carried out, that I should personate her. Your taking all this trouble shows that something more serious than love had to do with the matter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, humbug, what trouble after all did I take? When I found Cytherea would not stay with me after the wedding, I was much put out at being left alone again. Was that unnatural? Apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and those favoring accidents you mention, that nobody knew my first wife, seemed an arrangement of providence for our mutual benefit, and merely perfected a half-formed impulse that I should call you my first wife to escape the scandal that would have arisen if you had come here as anything else. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my love, that story won't do. If Mrs. Manston was burnt, Cytherea, whom you love better than me, could have been compelled to live with you as your lawful wife. If she was not burnt, why should you run the risk of her turning up again at any moment, and exposing your substitution of me, and ruining your name and prospects? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why? Because I might have loved you well enough to run the risk, assuming her not to be burnt, which I deny. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, you would have run the risk the other way. You would rather have risked her finding you with Cytherea as a second wife than with me as a personator of herself, the first one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you came easiest to hand, remember that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not so very easy either, considering the labor you took to teach me your first wife's history. All about how she was a native of Philadelphia. Then making me read up the guidebook to Philadelphia, and details of American life and manners, in case the birthplace and history of your wife, Eunice, should ever become known in this neighborhood, unlikely as it was. Ah! And then about the handwriting of hers, that I had to imitate, and the dyeing my hair, and rouging, to make the transformation complete? You mean to say that that was taking less trouble than there would have been in arranging events to make Cytherea believe herself your wife and live with you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you were a needy adventuress who would dare anything for a new pleasure and an easy life, and I was fool enough to give in to you. Apostrophe, good heavens above, did I ask you to insert those advertisements for your old wife and to make me answer it as if I was she? Did I ask you to send me the letter for me to copy and send back to you, when the third advertisement appeared purporting to come from the long-lost wife, and giving a detailed history of her escape and subsequent life, all which you had invented yourself? You deluded me into loving you, and then enticed me here. Ah, and this is another thing. How did you know the real wife wouldn't answer it, and upset all your plans? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because I knew she was burnt. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why didn't you force Cytherea to come back then? Now, my love, I have caught you, and you may just as well tell first as last, what was your motive in having me here as your first wife? Apostrophe, apostrophe, silence. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he exclaimed. She was silent for the space of 2 minutes, and then persisted in going on to mutter, and why was it that Miss Aldclyffe allowed her favorite young lady, Cythie, to be overthrown and supplanted without an expostulation or any show of sympathy? Do you know I often think you exercise a secret power over Miss Aldclyffe? And she always shuns me, as if I shared the power. A poor, ill-used creature like me sharing power, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she thinks you are Mrs. Manston. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that wouldn't make her avoid me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes it would, apostrophe, he exclaimed impatiently. I wish I was dead dead. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he had jumped up from his seat in uttering the words, and now walked wearily to the end of the room. Coming back more decisively, he looked in her face. We must leave this place, if Ronham suspects what I think he does, apostrophe, he said. The request of Cytherea and her brother may simply be for a satisfactory proof, to make her feel legally free, but it may mean more. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what may it mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how should I know? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, well, never mind old boy, apostrophe, she said, approaching him to make up the quarrel. Don't be so alarmed, anybody would think that you were the woman and I the man. Suppose they do find out what I am, we can go away from here and keep house as usual. People will say of you, his first wife was burned to death, or on the way to the colonies, as the case may be, he married a second, and deserted her for Anne Seaway. A very everyday case, nothing so horrible after all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he made an impatient movement. Whichever way we do it, nobody must know that you are not my wife Eunice. And now I must think about arranging matters. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Manston then retired to his office, and shut himself up for the remainder of the evening. 6. The events of a day and night, 1. March the 21st. Morning, next morning the steward went out as usual. He shortly told his companion, Anne, that he had almost matured their scheme, and that they would enter upon the details of it when he came home at night. The fortunate fact that the rector's letter did not require an immediate answer would give him time to consider. Anne Seaway then began her duties in the house. Besides daily superintending the cook and housemaid, one of these duties was, at rare intervals, to dust Manston's office with her own hands, a servant being supposed to disturb the books and papers unnecessarily. She softly wandered from table to shelf with the duster in her hand, afterwards standing in the middle of the room, and glancing around to discover if any noteworthy collection of dust had still escaped her. Her eye fell upon a faint layer which rested upon the ledge of an old-fashioned chestnut cabinet of French Renaissance workmanship, placed in a recess by the fireplace. At a height of about 4 feet from the floor, the upper portion of the front receded, forming the ledge alluded to, on which opened at each end 2 small doors, the center space between them being filled out by a panel of similar size, making the third of 3 squares. The dust on the ledge was nearly on a level with the woman's eye, and, though insignificant in quantity, showed itself distinctly on account of this obliquity of vision. Now opposite the central panel, concentric quarter circles were traced in the deposited film, expressing to her that this panel too was a door like the others, that it had lately been opened, and had skimmed the dust with its lower edge. At last, then, her curiosity was slightly rewarded. For the right of the matter was that Anne had been incited to this exploration of Manston's office rather by a wish to know the reason of his long seclusion here, after the arrival of the rector's letter and their subsequent discourse, than by any immediate desire for cleanliness. Still, there would have been nothing remarkable to Anne in this sight, but for one recollection. Manston at once casually told her that each of the two side lockers included half the middle space, the panel of which did not open, and was only put in for symmetry. It was possible that he had opened this compartment by candlelight the preceding night, or he would have seen the marks in the dust, and effaced them, that he might not be proved guilty of telling her an untruth. She balanced herself on one foot and stood pondering. She considered that it was very vexing and unfair in him to refuse her all knowledge of his remaining secrets, under the peculiar circumstances of her connection with him. She went close to the cabinet. As there was no keyhole, the door must be capable of being opened by the unassisted hand. The circles in the dust told her at which edge to apply her force. Here she pulled with the tips of her fingers, but the panel would not come forward. She fetched a chair and looked over the top of the cabinet, but no bolt, knob, or spring was to be seen. "Oh, never mind," apostrophe she said, with indifference. "I'll ask him about it, and he will tell me." Apostrophe apostrophe down she came and turned away. Then looking back again she thought it was absurd such a trifle should puzzle her. She retraced her steps, and opened a drawer beneath the ledge of the cabinet, pushing in her hand and feeling about on the underside of the board. Here she found a small round sinking, and pressed her finger into it. Nothing came of the pressure. She withdrew her hand and looked at the tip of her finger. It was marked with the impress of the circle, and, in addition, a line ran across it diametrically. "How stupid of me. It is the head of a screw." Apostrophe apostrophe whatever mysterious contrivance had originally existed for opening the puny cupboard of the cabinet, it had at some time been broken, and this rough substitute provided. Stimulated curiosity would not allow her to recede now. She fetched a screwdriver, withdrew the screw, pulled the door open with a penknife, and found inside a cavity about 10 inches square. The cavity contained letters from different women, with unknown signatures, Christian names only, surnames being despised in Paphos, letters from his wife Eunice, letters from Anne herself, including that she wrote in answer to his advertisement. A small pocketbook. Sundry scraps of paper. The letters from the strange women with pet names she glanced carelessly through, and then put them aside. They were too similar to her own regretted delusion, and curiosity requires contrast to excite it. The letters from his wife were next examined. They were dated back as far as Eunice's first meeting with Manston, and the early ones before their marriage contained the usual pretty effusions of women at such a period of their existence. Some little time after he had made her his wife, and when he had come to Knapwater, the series began again, and now their contents arrested her attention more forcibly. She closed the cabinet, carried the letters into the parlor, reclined herself on the sofa, and carefully perused them in the order of their dates. John Street, October 17, 1864. "My dearest husband, I received your hurried line of yesterday, and was of course content with it. But why don't you tell me your exact address instead of that ost office, Budmouth? This matter is all a mystery to me, and I ought to be told every detail. I cannot fancy it is the same kind of occupation you have been used to hitherto. Your command that I am to stay here while until you can see how things look, and can arrange to send for me, I must necessarily abide by. But if, as you say, a married man would have been rejected by the person who engaged you, and that hence my existence must be kept a secret until you have secured your position, why did you think of going at all? The truth is, this keeping our marriage a secret is troublesome, vexing, and wearisome to me. I see the poorest woman in the street bearing her husband's name openly living with him in the most matter-of-fact ease, and why shouldn't I? I wish I was back again in Liverpool. Today I bought a grey waterproof cloak. I think it is a little too long for me, but it was cheap for one of such a quality. The weather is gusty and dreary, and till this morning I had hardly set foot outside the door since you left. Please do tell me when I am to come. Very affectionately yours, Eunice." apostrophe, John Street, October 25, 1864. My dear husband, why don't you write? Do you hate me? I have not had the heart to do anything this last week. That I, your wife, should be in this strait, and my husband well-to-do. I have been obliged to leave my first lodging for debt among other things. They charged me for a lot of brandy which I am quite sure I did not taste. Then I went to Camberwell, and was found out by them. I went away privately from thence, and changed my name the second time. I am now Mrs. Rondley. But the new lodging was the wretchedest and dearest I ever set foot in, and I left it after being there only a day. I am now at number 20 in the same street that you left me in originally. All last night the sash of my window rattled so dreadfully that I could not sleep, but I had not energy enough to get out of bed to stop it. This morning I have been walking I don't know how far, but far enough to make my feet ache. I have been looking at the outside of two or three of the theaters, but they seem forbidding if I regard them with the eye of an actress in search of an engagement. Though you said I was to think no more of the stage, I believe you would not care if you found me there. But I am not an actress by nature, and art will never make me one. I am too timid and retiring. I was intended for a cottager's wife. I certainly shall not try to go on the boards again whilst I am in this strange place. The idea of being brought on as far as London, and then left here alone. Why didn't you leave me in Liverpool? Perhaps you thought I might have told somebody that my real name was Mrs. Manston. As if I had a living friend to whom I could impart. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.